over big, long, rough roads for long, long ways, and she had trouble. She had midwife, and she had such trouble with her labor and stuff that they brought her then after she was supposed to have the baby, and brought her to the hospital. And finally, she did give birth to the baby, but the baby soon died. And just before this lady, a day before this lady was ready to leave, another lady delivered, and she had twins. And the two mothers felt so close that the one mother said, "You lost your baby, I'll give you one of my babies." Right. And so that both of them went away happy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the feeling that there was here.
Yeah,
just
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that I would like to see that come back to Castañer, a community of unified effort for the community.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some power struggles lately,
mm-hmm.
and that's bad. I don't mm-hmm. like that, because mm-hmm. then you lose the purpose. When
are the struggles, some of them, about the idea of the municipio, or some people want to be a municipio and other people don't want to, or are they about other things?
I don't think
it's much about the municipal, no.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think not that...
It's politics now.
It's their own egocentric, is what mm-hmm. I think. And when you put your that in the middle, you don't accomplish things. You have to share the success and share the power and share the ideals and get all of your heads together if you really are going to get some place in here.
Well, maybe Castañer has been special in that it's had a number of real projects, like the PRA, the housing, the hospital, the lake, a number of projects that pull people
together.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they need another project, but I don't know if the coffee serves as a project.
Mm-hmm.
And rebuilding the coffee industry, maybe, but not as much, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, another thing that was started here, a milk station.
Mm-hmm.
That milk station is for the youth, mothers that had children and so forth. By their people, they didn't. The children didn't get probably a quart of milk a year,
mm-hmm.
and so they. This was the community itself rose up and petitioned the federal government to start a milk station here, and they got it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, all the children before they went to school, they could stop there and have their drink of milk,
mm-hmm.
and at noon they would be given a sandwich and a drink
mm-hmm.
of milk.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that was started here,
that was
a community itself.
Yeah, that was before they even had these
that was 1943.
Comedores escolares or
mm-hmm.
anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that it is digno de decir. I'll say another thing that should be mentioned is that some men, and when I said men, I include women in it, gave of themselves unselfishly,
mm-hmm.
their time, their efforts, and everything. You see, well, for example, right now you can see Pedrito. Pedrito's giving of himself an awful lot.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not being paid.
Yeah, yeah.
They pay for his expenses, but they don't pay for his time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can mention a lot of them before that
mm-hmm.
have done the same
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
John Forbes to get the...
Who is John Forbes? A number of people have mentioned him.
Okay, John Forbes was one of the volunteers, came through the Brother Volunteer Service.
Mm-hmm.
And served here in Castañer. He worked in the social work department. He worked also in the laboratory department. And then he took it under his, he worked in the promotion of the new hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked also in starting the medical corps.
Mm-hmm.
The medical corps was really a dream of one of our doctors before that, Dr. Snell and Dr. Levin. But they never did anything about it. But it was John that really shook the bushes and went here and went there and did everything to bring it about. At that time, Nathan Leopold helped him very much. Nathan Leopold, do you know Nathan? Have you heard of him?
I guess I had heard of him, and when I was talking to Don Ernesto Casta, he mentioned him too, a writer, right? American, right?
Si. Yeah, Nathan Leopold, you are too young to know that, but there was a crime in Chicago that really shook the city and all over the United States, because it was some youth of 16 and 17 year old that killed their cousin trying to make the perfect crime. Very bright, from a very well-to-do family, very rich family, and they, in the process, these two young men were discovered because one of them lost the glasses, and then
Nathan lost the glass out of his.
And they found that at the scene of
the scene.
And those glasses.
They took it to the different oculists and found out which.
There was three of that prescription. In the whole world, and that's how they discovered it. And then they, they hired, of course, the family hired the best lawyer in the United States, criminal lawyer that saved their lives, because in that time there was
a death penalty.
But they got life plus 99 years. And the Church of the Brethren got interested in him, and he then was, they worked toward when he was 50-something years old. So he has spent all his life in prison.
He spent about 30 years, I think it was, in prison.
And he knew over 21 languages, that guy. And he was a social worker, he was a professor, he was a medical technologist. He had he had studied all of those things in jail. So he was given parole to Castanier. And before that...
Under auspices of the church.
And before they brought him down, the heads of the church came down and consulted the community committee that I was telling you about, that was formed to be the kind of a leadership of the community. And they were willing to accept him and support him, moral support and so forth. And Nathan was very well known, very well respected. He was very sorry for his crimes, and he was also tried to help. He was a Jew, very much on the social work around. So Nathan helped John Forbes to get the, at least Nathan make the connection for people that were willing to invest money in the club. But the other work, John did it. And John practically run it alone. It was a one-man show for a long time. And then John went on to teach at the San Juan and so forth. So.
I don't know whether this would be pertinent or not, but John was put into prison because he carried a communist card, and then he was a conscientious objector on top of that. They put him in prison, and the church again got him out of there and put him in there. Now, I don't know whether
that was before he came.
And then he was put down here to serve some time.
He was an atheist, but he got converted here in the Church of the Brother.
When did the health cooperative begin, like the early 50s then, or what?
1960, something like that. See, practically with the new hospital, because the idea was to help also is that the people get a very reasonable insurance to pay for their health, that the hospital that was doing all charity work at that time would have a source of income.
So it helped both the people and the hospital.
Exactly. And now that's what I am so very much interested on this article, because that is a product of the work of the hospital.
But also, I am
very much interested because the people of Castañer have helped back the job, and young men like Pedrito have gotten an interest.
Well, again,
but now there are many hospitals that are recently who are accepting the plan, the Castañer plan, right?
Yes.
I have a photocopy in the car. I think there are 30 hospitals on the island now that accept that.
Because with this, the government is now backing up
I'm sorry, I interrupted
you. No, that's okay. I just...
See.
Oh, this you saw the 7 or 8 story building down here for old elderly people. That was also started by the church and the hospital. The hospital and the church were at that time together yet. And they got some people to help, and they finally got the federal government give a big share toward building it.
Mm-hmm.
And now the people get their, these old elderly people, if they have under a certain amount, the government pays all their rent. And if they get over, if they have an income of over so much, they pay a percentage.
The land where the hospital is and the schools are and the plaza and the high rise was all
of the church.
The church and the hospital.
And the church turned it over to the community.
So there were a number of very active individuals who gave a lot of time for the cooperative movements and the community.
Definitely. In that respect, otherwise, you know, the cooperative movement, it is one that very few people are paid for doing the work, but it takes a lot of work of very many, and usually of those very many, one or two are the ones that really work to make it a success. And I think that is the history in Castañer about that.
Thinking more of Castañer today, you say there are a few more tensions in the community that maybe are political things that that have happened than previously.
Well, this building, for the aged, why we had a lot of resistance to that, because a certain group wanted to make Castañer a municipality, and they wanted that land to put the municipal buildings on. And they tried to take it away from the church. And the church says, no, we promised this for community use, for the benefit of the community. And they put up quite a fight against
them. We made a community meeting, and the community said, yes, do the building there. We prefer that there instead of this other space for making a square.
So right now, because there is no mayor, there's no municipal government, are community decisions made by a community committee?
That's right. The community, usually, usually something of great importance, they throw a community assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And the people come, and things are presented, and that is the way it is done.
Is there an elected community committee?
No, usually...
There used to be.
Elected in those community things. Now they just elect themselves and present the things, and then just somebody tells... They have asked us different times to get involved again. We used to be right in the middle of that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're older. And we tell them, get some fresh blood. Let us rest now.
And you know, when we said get some fresh blood, they went out with their machetes.
Well, it's I still think there's I believe there is some youth here that have vision, and they do things, and they work on things. But what I like to see is those with vision really get together and work on something big.
Yeah, yeah,
because little pet projects here and there, when quite something would be big, I don't know what that would be. But
well, this community has more than Adjuntas, for instance. We have an old people's home, we have a hospital, and we have a post office. So we really are going ahead of a lot of the other communities that are organized.
One thing that someone mentioned to me was that the valley itself is limited in space.
That's right.
So it's limited in terms of like how much building can be done, and maybe even how many houses can be constructed.
And not only that, we're the focal, you might say the hub, of what is it, four different municipalities.
Uh-huh.
And we can't get any of them, couldn't get any of them to agree, all of them at the same time, to let this be
a municipality,
a city of its own.
Yeah. Do most of the young people in the town like finish through the fourth year, and then some of them stay and some of them leave, or do, I guess one of the topics I'm interested in too is migration, you know, the people who, young people who are educated here but then leave, and also people like Pedro, and some who have come back after being educated outside. I suppose it's a little bit hard for the community to see a lot of the young people leave, which happens in all, most rural communities,
right.
I think, you know, the young people leave.
Well, really, when you see the very few opportunities there is of work here for professionals, or even for just plain work of that takes high school education. You see, that's the hospital. The hospital employed graduate nurses, employed for the pharmacy, employed for the diets, employed for the Department of Social Work, employed for the lab, x-ray, nurses, doctors, and so forth. But that is, let's say, the most it could employ probably is 120 persons. And the schools, there's a limit also. There's maybe, I don't know, maybe in the whole 25 to 30 teachers. The other social work department that might employ maybe about 10. Post office, it doesn't employ, it's only one.
The little stores around usually use their own families.
Little stores, their own families.
The rest of it is...
Another one is the experimental station, agricultural experimental station, that employs maybe about 30 people.
But now...
And then the co-op, different co-ops employ
black
maybe
people.
Among all of them maybe about 30 people. For all of this community, there is supposed to be about 10,000, I understand. So that means that there's a lot of need for putting for employment of these people. And so we need to create more things for jobs. Maybe improve the roads so that if the people stay, could go down to Jauco and work, or to Arecibo and work, or to Ponce and work, and then come back.
Yeah.
But you said you were interested in this of migration. We could see a lot of migration around the 50s, 60s, much more than even right now, because right now they get prepared and they come back, some of them. Before, hardly none came back. because there was really not that much. And plus, I think they wanted to get out.
Well, you didn't have, the town, they didn't have as much as it has today, even with as many churches.
Exactly.
Television or things like that.
But with the television, I think people feel comfortable at home.
Yeah.
And they don't need to go out. And with all of this crime problem all over the island, Castañeda is a little heaven.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't get spoiled. So there is the going out, and this creates a problem even in the churches. You raise the kids, you get them influenced, you convert them, you make them leaders.
You make them into good kids, good students, good, with lots of potential
then
talent.
They go.
And,
then you have to start all over again. And it's all right, because at least you are preparing some good men and women. But this is a problem.
Maybe that's one reason why people like Pedro are so special. When they come back and really are educated and become very involved in the community, that's
exactly.
Maybe something
exactly.
special.
They yeah. see what they have gone out, and they come back, and they see all the potential that they didn't realize before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that they go out,
yeah.
because they can taste
mm-hmm.
what all the things that have been done.
Mm-hmm.
But then in coming back, they get involved. Others, they will come back when they are older and then they are ready for yeah. retirement and enjoy relaxing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the what the government has done with the coffee in the last 15 years or so has made it possible for a few more to come back. You know, if they're not doctors or they're not teachers,
that's
but
right.
they can come back and begin working on the coffee and find loans and incentives to.
That's right.
Right.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that, maybe in recent times that's been one important event or thing.
Yeah.
That,
a good example of it is this young man Vera,
mm-hmm.
that some relation to the lady that was here. He's an agronomist. He was working out.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was a social worker,
mm-hmm.
and was working out. And uh-huh. I said working out
outside
of Castañeda.
Yeah. yeah.
And he realized, because he was an agronomist, with all the incentives, he could do much better being his own boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he came back. They were, the kids got married. They settled here. They bought a farm.
Yeah.
They bought another farm. And he has, and they are both very good Christians.
Yeah.
They belong to the Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And those two are excellent leaders for yeah. the Baptists.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they support their family. She stays home with the family, and he works day and night.
Yeah.
Ralph and Joan Gonzalez, I think, mentioned them as maybe somebody I should try to talk to sometime.
Yes,
too.
I think so too. Pepe Alvarez, you've got to talk to Pepe Alvarez.
Alvarez. I haven't heard, who is he? I haven't heard his name before.
Pepe Alvarez is the father of the of this man's wife.
Uh-huh.
He was social worker almost from the beginning here.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Pepe Alvarez was of the one that went out to work, and then the hospital talked him into coming and working for the hospital.
Yeah. Well, you've been very, very helpful. I really appreciate it.
Okay. So you got, you talk, hey, maybe, do you want to call Pepe and see what, sorry, you don't. I mean, that's...
No, I have to calculate, I have to go to, Pedro has some people coming to stay family tonight, so I have to go to, there's a hotel over near Lares where I stay some part of the time. I'm just trying to think of when I could do it, but maybe it would be a good idea to try to make an appointment to see him. He is the husband of the...
He's the father of the Vera, of the Juan Vera, young man.
I see.
He's the father of the girl.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he was the social worker for the church, for the hospital for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I should have brought in a...
Yeah, I give you a
piece of paper too. I usually bring that in from the car, and I didn't this time.
Here's where you are now. You go down here, and here's a Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
and you go here, turn over here toward this way, cross a bridge, go around here.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little road that turns off here, just a little one. You go up here, instead of going up here, you, no, wait, the road goes up here. And then this here, here's a bridge. And you just turn down here, and Pepe is about the second house.
Is this the road that goes up the hill that people take up the, where the old hospital is on the...
Here's old hospital, right, let me see, right here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then before you get to the old hospital, the little road turns off here, and there's some houses here.
Uh-huh.
But he's a second house, Pepe Alvarez.
Okay.
Could be third. Could be first is Doris. The second is
I meant after the curve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
After he turns here, it's the second house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He would be someone that could be a lot of
things. Can be. Did you see Casta?
Yes, I talked to him.
Uh-huh.
He was very helpful.
What about Julio Lebron?
No, I haven't seen him. I'm going
to. I think Pepe Alvarez will be better for you than for
me. I think so too.
I'm going to write all the names down here. Pepe Alvarez and Vera. His first name is Jose or no Vera?
See, they call him. Call that kid. Quito. Quito Vera.
Is he the one clear up at the end of the road here?
Yeah, the one that has the swimming pool on his house.
Oh, no, that's down here on the road to Alvarez.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Julio
he would
Lebron?
Be right here. Right
okay.
here.
Okay.
See, Quito and his father-in-law is right next to him.
Okay. Julio Lebron, was he a teacher or was, what was...
Yes, he was the principal of the elementary school for several years.
And he's a politician. You'll know it if you see him.
And Jose Vera is the agronomist.
Mm-hmm.
Jose is the one that's clear up at the end of the road, isn't it?
Well, I'm going
No. Jose is Quito. Quito Vera.
Oh. Quito Vera.
Oh, it's the same person.
Okay.
And another person is a neighbor right here in front, Beto Medina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of roosters there. He raised them for cockfights.
Yeah.
And was he, what did, does he do or did he do?
Uh-huh.